One of my favorite preachers from history was also a medical doctor, a pioneer in Christian radio, and a man who actually started a Bible college, I believe, over in the state of Kansas, Dr. Walter Wilson. And he lived from 1881 to 1969. Apparently, this happened probably, my guess is, in the 30s or 40s. He said, "I was conducting a meeting in a small country church, which was heated by a large stove at the back of the room near the door." How many of y'all ever were in an old church that had a big old stove in it? Let's see your hand. All right, I was in one or two back a few years ago myself. The stove was usually kept fairly hot during those cold days, so visiting friends couldn't sit very near it. One young man, however, preferred to sit directly behind the stove where he would be hidden from the preacher. Everett was his name. He was a bachelor, about 28 years of age, had the reputation around the village of being rough and ungodly. The services in that little church were attracting quite a bit of attention in the neighborhood, and almost the whole village was coming out. Our friend decided he would see what was going on there, and a number of his friends had been coming. Some of them had been saved. He attended, but sat in an obscure place in the back of the church, back behind that old wood stove. As I gave the message, and some portions would be of unusual interest to him, he would lean out from behind the stove to see me. I was quick to take advantage of that and would say something just for him in connection with the message. He would soon draw back out of sight and remain hidden for a while. This continued throughout the meetings. One night, the subject of the message was John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I sought to make it clear that our manner of life indicated whether we were dead in sins or alive in Christ. As I explained the symptoms of a dead sinner, Everett became very interested. His shock of curly hair appeared frequently from behind the stove. He'd listen a moment, then he'd pull his head back. Again, in a few moments, it would appear and then disappear. I knew something unusual was taking hold of his soul, so I hoped he would speak to me at the close of the service. At no time did he remain behind for a personal conversation. Excuse me. He would bolt out of the door as soon as the message was finished. Nobody was able to converse with him. The following Sunday night, when I came to the front of the church, imagine my surprise to see Everett sitting not in the very back behind the wood stove, but sitting right on the front seat of the church, holding in his lap the biggest Bible I had ever seen in the hands of any person. This wasn't just a large Bible, it was a pulpit Bible, an unusually large Bible. I immediately went to him and said, "Everett, I cannot understand this situation. Last Sunday you were behind the stove, now you're on the front seat. Last Sunday you had no Bible. Today you have the biggest Bible I've ever seen in anybody's hands. What has happened that has caused this wonderful change?" His face glowed with joy as he told me his story. James chapter 1, James is the practitioner of the Christian life. Now, what I mean by that, I mean he's the one that practically tells you what to do with the Christian life. He ties the spiritual in with the physical until it becomes intensely practical. Somebody broke this chapter down into three skills. Listen to this. First of all, the skill of handling life's troubles. He talks about the trials of your faith in the early verses of the chapter. And then the skill of resisting temptation. In verse 13, he said, "Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." By the way, I was not clear in the Bible study on Wednesday night. I want to make it clear today that God tests us, Satan tempts us. Satan does not test us because he doesn't love us. God tests us because he loves us. And God does not tempt us. It says very plainly that God does not tempt us, which is trying to get us to do evil. And so there's the skill of handling the troubles of life. There's the skill of resisting temptation. And then the third in this passage is the skill of receiving God's Word. Now, look at verse 19 with me, if you would, please. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be... What's the next three words? Say them with me, please. Swift to hear. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you don't do what you hear, then your life will become a self-deceived life. Now, I want to begin my message with four key statements. Listen very carefully to these four statements. Number one, God is trying to tell you something. Number two, He can't tell you if you don't listen. Number three, you don't automatically listen. You're not born knowing how to listen. And number four, you learn to listen. Now, let me personalize that for you, all right? Number one, God is trying to tell me something. Would you say that, please? Repeat it after me. God is trying to tell me something. Now, the second one is this. He can't tell me if I don't listen. Say it, please. He can't tell me if I don't listen, but I don't automatically listen. Say it. I don't automatically listen. That means I must learn to listen. Say it. I must learn to listen. One preacher was standing up preaching. He said, "This morning, I'm going to speak on the relationship between fact and faith." It's a fact that you're sitting here in this auditorium. It's a fact that I'm standing here speaking. But it's faith that makes me believe you might be listening to what I'm saying right now. God's trying to tell you and me something. He can't tell us if we don't listen, but we don't automatically listen. We have to learn to listen, and anyone who will can learn to listen. James said, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." The word means swift, means quick, fleet, speedy. The word swift is used in the Bible to refer to the swiftness of a deer running, the swiftness of an eagle flying, the swiftness of a runner running. And it carries the concept, here is a runner who is running with a message, and it carries the concept that there is an urgency about this matter. As this runner is swift to carry the message, so the man who is about to receive the message will be swift to hear it. He will be eager to hear it. He will be anxious to hear it. He will say, "Oh, I've got to hear this." They say that in a heart attack, seconds count. The speed with which a person receives proper treatment could mean the difference between life and death. Minus Samson, in the hospital a few days ago, and now in the nursing home, doing a lot better. She had a stroke. And she said to me just last night, she said, "They are telling me that if I had not gotten the treatment as quickly as I did, that I would not be doing as well as I'm doing right now." And that's the way it is with your listening. There could be somebody whom their whole life is dependent on something they will hear in the next 45 minutes. Will you be swift to hear? Will you be eager as though a messenger were running to you with a life and death message? You see, it's when a preacher preaches, if he's truly preaching the Word of God, he's not just giving his opinion, he's giving you something from God Himself. How much more important can there be than to hear from God Himself? S.M. Davis' opinions don't matter. Glenn Michael's opinions don't matter. John Wright's opinion don't matter. What God says matters for all of time and eternity. There's an urgency to listening. that people don't realize. So why should you learn to listen? Why should you develop the skill of listening? Why should you be swift to hear? Because God, first of all, is very concerned about your hearing, about your listening. Be swift to hear. Quick, eager, and anxious. Somebody said this, God gave us two ears and one mouth because He meant for us to do twice as much listening as we do talking. Seems some people, instead of being satisfied with two ears and one tongue, would like to have three tongues and one ear. The story is told about a young man who went to a philosopher to be instructed in oratory. The moment the young man was introduced, he began to talk in an incessant stream, and this went on for some time till finally the philosopher reached up and literally put his hand over the young man's mouth. And he said, "What are you doing?" The philosopher said, "I have to charge you double what I usually charge people." The fellow said, "Double? Why?" The philosopher said, "Because I have to teach you two things. First, I have to teach you how to hold your tongue. Then I have to teach you how to use it correctly. Until you first know how to use it, you won't know how to hold it. You won't know how to use it." God is greatly concerned about your hearing and your listening. In Exodus 19:9, the Lord said to Moses, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud." Did you ever notice that? That God would literally appear to Moses in front of all the people in a pillar or a thick cloud. This literally looked like a cloud of smoke or a cloud out of the sky. And this cloud would come down and God would speak. And then He told why He came in the thick cloud. "That the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever." Did you know those people still didn't want to listen to Moses? Did you know they still rebelled? Did you know they still got bitter? Did you know they still murmured? Did you know they still complained? And here is God in a cloud saying, "This is me, I want you to hear." The purpose of the cloud, just to cause people to listen. In Deuteronomy 5:1 we read, "Hear, O Israel." In Deuteronomy 6:3 we read, "Hear, O Israel." In Deuteronomy 6:4 we read, "Hear, O Israel." In Deuteronomy 9:1 we read, "Hear, O Israel." Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning." How do you know a wise man to start with? Do you know one of the main characteristics of a wise person is they know how to pay attention? Because they know that they're going to increase learning and attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 22:17 says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise." Drop your ear low and hear what God has to say to you. 1 Kings 4:34, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of His wisdom." So they came from everywhere. Why? To hear the wisdom of Solomon. Hear the words of the wise. Jeremiah 22:29. "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." It's interesting, in the Bible the word "listen" only occurs once. But the word "hear" or "hearken" or "heard" occurs 516 times in the Bible. God is saying you've got to hear. And interestingly, the first occurrence is Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. "And they," Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And so here is God coming in the early morning or in the late evening or perhaps both to meet with Adam and Eve, and they heard His voice. Could I ask you a question? Did you hear God's voice early this morning? Will you hear God's voice this evening? Will you hear God's voice early tomorrow morning so that your day goes like it's supposed to go all day long? And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, I think it's wise for a man to listen to his wife as long as she's not telling him to do something that God told him not to do. And Genesis 3:17, God says to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Why? What is the problem with that? What was the curse? Why was the curse coming? Because God said, don't eat of that tree. And Eve said, well, I think it's going to be all right. And he listened to her instead of listening to God. And if it ever comes down to it, fellas, you've got to listen to God first. Ladies, if it ever comes down to it, you've got to listen to God first. Men, if it ever comes down to it, I don't care who it is, you've got to listen to God first. If it's clear what God says, you've got to do what God says. Jesus talked about this over and over. Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Why? Because there could be somebody sitting here this morning. You got two of these on the side of your head, just like I do, you know? But they're not listening. Because they are not ears that want to hear. Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Matthew 13:16, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. You want to have blessed ears? Just listen, that's all you got to do. Mark 4:9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:24, take heed what ye hear. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Isn't that interesting? God says, if you listen, I'll give you something else to listen to. You know what happens if you tune God out? You know what happens if you tune the preaching and teaching of the Word of God out? God says, with what measure you meet, it'll be given to you again. So, God says, oh, you tune that out, you don't want that, I won't give you that. I mean, that's the way it is in life, isn't it? If you try to be kind or nice to your children, they don't like what you're doing for them, do you just keep doing it? God says, if you don't want to hear what I got to say, do you know why people today are not hearing all across America, all across this world? Do you know why they're not hearing what God has to say? They don't want to hear it. And so when God said, can I tell you something? Every terrorist who ever blew up himself for a foolish cause, at some point, God spoke to that man and said, that's not the way to go. This is not it. There's a different way than this. But he would not listen to it. And so God said, okay, you don't want to hear it. Okay, Mark 7:16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 8:18, having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. Luke 8:8, and when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He cried. He told the parable of the sower, and then he stopped and did this. He looked at the whole crowd and he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He cried that out. That's what the Bible says. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We got a new dog recently. Little pet dog I had to catch moles died, and I won't go into all that. But then we got a new dog, and she was named Lucky. We renamed her. We call her Lady now, all right? But we Dwayne stopped over in Danville, and they were coming back from Indiana, and they brought her to our house, and she got there, and she didn't know any of us. And my wife, late at night, took her out on the leash for her to go potty, and she got off the leash, and she started running. Now, you got to know, we live out in the country. We got a fifth of a mile long driveway. She ran all the way down the driveway. And then she ran up the hill. And my wife called me. I was already in bed asleep. She called me, and she said, honey, you got to come help. We got to get this dog. Would you believe? Till 2:20 in the morning, we are chasing that dog all over that neighborhood. I mean, everywhere. She finally, I mean, we're up in that, we're through people's driveways. Here it is, 2 o'clock in the morning. We're driving down people's driveway, chasing the dog. You know what the problem was? The dog didn't know our voice. Because she didn't know our voice, she wouldn't listen to us. The next morning, I got out and I sat down and held that dog and petted that dog and played with that dog and taught that dog for 2 hours. And since then, every time I call, she comes to me. But the night before, we'd call, she'd run. You know what some people's problem is? They don't recognize the voice. He's calling you. I said He's calling you. You don't need to run the other direction. We almost caught her at one point, and then she darted back behind a fence where all these cows were. My daughter Gina started to climb the fence. I said, I hollered, I've got my mule. Thank God for the mule you gave us. I mean, you know, I'm driving that thing all over the place in the middle of the night, through the woods, through the trails, down the driveways. I mean, all over the place, this mule. And then I look up. I'm over here. She's over there. And Gina starts climbing that fence. And I said, Gina, get off that fence. You're going to get killed. Somebody's going to shoot you. The next day we rode by, there was a big bull inside that fence. I said, you weren't just in danger of the owner shooting you with a gun. You was in danger of the bull charging you. She, well, I was just trying to get the dog. You know how we finally got that dog? We got Janae up. Janae was in the car. And where is Janae? Where are you back there? Stand up. Where are you? I don't see you. Where are you? Okay, she's in junior church. Okay, Janae is what now? 9 years old? And she's never seen a critter she's a stranger to. They adopted a bird last night that was the cat was about to kill it. And they're always, whatever critter there is around, I mean, she's a critter person. And so she had held the dog coming from Danville to here, and the dog was halfway knew who she was. I had given up and gone home. I said, that's it, done. And as they were coming back to the house, they saw the dog again. And we got, Janae had already been up riding all over the place. I said, she's the only one she's going to come to. And finally, Janae got down in the road, in the country, in the middle of the night, 2:15 in the morning. She is flat on her stomach, and the dog is over there. And she said, come here, Lucky. Come here, Lucky. Come here, Lucky. And finally, she got this close, and she reached over and grabbed her. Little rat terrier. Now, what's that dog's problem? That dog's problem was she didn't know the voice of a master. And you know what a lot of people's problem is? They don't know the voice of the master. My sheep hear my voice. I've said before, there are certain times. I remember this in particular as your pastor 3 or 4 years ago when we started to build. And some folks were questioning, do we build? And I said to several men, it is time to build. I know it is time to build. All I know is this. I've walked with God for a few years, and I've learned to recognize the voice of God. And I'm sure God is telling me it's time for us to do this. After a while, you get to where you recognize the voice of the master. Fathers, it's important that you learn to hear the voice of the master. He will. I said to some a family just in the last few weeks, and they're trying to find some wisdom for a daughter in the family. And I said, you need to be talking to your father. Your dad is going to have things for you. Nobody else, because God's going to tell him things. He won't tell anybody else because you're his child. And dad, you better be able to hear God's voice. You better be able to say to your family, to your wife, to your children, I believe this is what God wants us to do. 7 times in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, there are folks who say, well, you can worship God without going to church. Well, of course you can, but you can't hear what God has to say. You can't hear everything God's going to say to you unless you go to church. Because the Spirit is going to say, that's Revelation 2 and 3. That's those seven churches. And you've got Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira, and you've got all these seven different churches, and seven times, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God will say things to you in church that you won't get anywhere else. The Spirit of God will ring your bell. You know, we've got the cell phone phenomenon now. Every service, we're always wondering whose cell phone's going to ring, you know? Could I tell you, I'm not wondering this morning, God's ringing your number. That's your number. Pick it up. Answer it. He's trying to get you a message. God's really concerned about your hearing. Secondly, you need to learn to listen. You need to develop this skill of listening. You need to be swift to hear, because you never know when you're going to hear the most important message of your life. You never know. You never know when you're going to hear it. I mean, that opportunity of your life, it may be in the next 30 minutes. It could be, the next 30 minutes could be. That's the reason, folks, all my life, my parents said, boy, you got to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you possibly can be, you got to be in church. Why? Because you never know when God's going to say something to you. The message you hear that you think will be the least important could be the most important message of your life. In Genesis 42:21, Joseph's brother said, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. We wouldn't listen. They were too upset with their brother Joseph to realize they were hearing not just from their brother, but from God, and they wouldn't listen. I remember several years ago, a lady sitting in my office. I gave her a very important message from God. She was upset with me. She would not listen. She went out and ruined her life. I remember a message I preached several years ago, tremendously important message for a family, but they were upset with me, and they said, and they wouldn't listen. Today, that family has disintegrated. And I could tell story after story after story after story after story after... I mean, already this morning, somebody came to me and said, did you hear about a certain situation with a certain individual and a certain family? And I remembered immediately, Mr. B, you and I, sitting in my office talking to this individual for almost 2 hours and saying, this is very important. You've got to get this. You've got to see this. Would not listen. The greatest decisions of my life were made because I was listening to preaching. January 22nd, 1967, I was a backslidden teenager. Determined to go my own way and do my own thing, my plan was to become a jazz or rock trumpeter in a nightclub. My parents didn't know that, but that was my plan. It was hiding away in my heart. But one thing was for sure. Didn't matter what I thought. If I was going to live underneath my daddy's roof, I went to church. When I went to church that night, I didn't expect anything different. I didn't expect anything unusual. And there was almost no preaching that night. The preacher that was there, Mike Curry, stood up, read his scripture from Acts chapter 8, got down and prayed, got on his knees behind the pulpit and prayed, and got up to preach, and he was smiling and crying at the same time. I've never forgotten it. I still see it. It's been all these years. And he said, God won't let me preach. We need to start singing an invitation hymn, Jesus Paid It All. Here we are, the service just... We're only 30 minutes into the service. Would you believe that service lasted till 1:30 the next morning? I'm serious. And virtually every backslider in that place got right with God, and the Spirit of God fell on that place like few places I've ever been. And the Spirit of God spoke. Are you hearing what the Spirit says to the church? What if I hadn't been there that night? I remember Esther Sperkle coming to our church and preaching. What was that? Tuesday night of a revival meeting. I mean, that's the night that, you know, you just can't work it into going. I believe it's Tuesday night, and he preached a whole message on the importance of the Word of God and how you ought to read your whole Bible. I was 16 years of age, had never read my Bible all the way through, and he stood up and he said, every word of God is important. You need every single word that God has to say. He said, if you never read through your Bible, and he said something so simple, and I've told you hundreds of times, he said, if you divide the number of pages in your Bible by 365, you'll find out how many pages you need to read. I had never heard that in my life. Never heard that preached. I was 16 years of age. Nobody had ever said that. It was like an extraordinary thing to find anybody who had read all the way through their Bible. I remember a man in our church years ago who had read through his Bible like 20-something times, and it was like, wow. Never seen anything like that. That was unusual. I really didn't know of anybody at that point in time except that man that I remember who had read all the way through their Bible. And Estes Purple stood up and said, need to read every word that God has to say. Need to read it every day. Divide it up. Find out how many pages to read. Read 4 pages a day. You'll read all the way through your Bible in 12 months. That changed my life. Changed my life forever. I'm still reading through my Bible. And I lost count a long time ago how many times I've read through it. 25, 30, 35. I really don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. I don't necessarily read it through every year now, but I'm always reading through the Bible. Every year, every 2 years, every 3 years, I'm always reading. It changed my life. The Spirit of God said, that's for you right there. You better listen to that. And I said, yes. The Spirit of God said to me one day, you better marry a dedicated Christian. And I did. And I'm glad I did. The Spirit of God said to me in a service, you need to get the education you need. You don't have the education. So I went to college and I got the education. I went to seminary. And man, I'm glad I listened to what God said. The Spirit of God convicted me to be separated from the world. And it was in a missions conference on a Saturday night. We don't even have service on Saturday night, hardly ever. Have you noticed that? Saturday night in a missions conference, the Spirit of God really worked on my heart one of the strongest ways I ever remember in my life, and I surrendered to preach. What am I saying? You never know when you're going to hear the most important message. You never know. God spoke to Samuel in the middle of the night. Samuel, Samuel, he thought it was Eli. Jumped up, ran in the other room. At least he was attentive. What if he'd have been, I'm sleepy. Let me sleep. Don't bother me. In Bible days, and eventually Samuel said, speak, Lord. After Eli, what was it, 3 times I believe it was, and finally he said, Samuel, go back and this time say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And little Samuel, laying there in bed at night, looked up toward heaven and said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm listening. You can say it. I will hear it. Could I ask you, would you hear it? God's trying to tell you something. Will you hear it? In the Bible days, God sometimes spoke directly to a man as He did to Samuel. Sometimes He spoke through dreams. Sometimes He spoke through visions. He spoke through His prophets. The prophets would say, thus saith the Lord. He would speak through circumstances. There was Gideon and the fleece, and it would be wet on one side, and the fleece would be wet, and the ground would be dry, and then the fleece would be wet, the ground would be dry. Then the fleece would be dry and the ground would be wet. Got to make sure I get that right. God would speak through angels to Samson's parents, to Daniel, to Mary and Joseph. God would speak through the Holy Spirit. And God still speaks to us today. Thank God He does. He really does. He speaks through His Word. You need a fresh voice every day. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever started to say or do something the Holy Spirit says, no, don't do that? Sometimes He speaks through other people, those who are close to us, who love us, who pray for us, are often the instruments God uses to speak to us. On more than one occasion, a few words or sentences from someone has changed my life. There are men in this auditorium who have spoken to me, and when they did, it's like the Holy Spirit said, I'm trying to tell you something. Are you going to listen or not? I remember my father-in-law years ago saying to me, you're never out of the will of God to stay busy where you are till God makes it clear He wants you to do something else. Man, it was the voice of God to me. My wife's keen insight and walk with God more than once, she has been like the voice of God to me. You ladies ought to listen to your husbands too. You think, how could God speak through my husband? If God could speak through Balaam's donkey to Balaam, you can be sure God could speak through your husband to you. We could use it the other way too, but we'll just leave it like it is. Young people, God will speak to you. Sometimes through your parents, through your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, a godly deacon. That's the reason when you're about to make a major decision in life, seek out, find out. There are so many people who miss what God has to say because they don't talk to their parents. They don't talk to their pastor. Many times I've had people come to my office and say, Pastor, just wanted to see you. Is there anything? And I would say, you know, I don't really see any danger here. Just go ahead. I think everything is fine. But sometimes, I mean, it may be 1 out of 10 times somebody walks in my office and they say, Pastor, what are you thinking? It's like all at once God says, no, tell them, warn them about this, show them this, give them this, give them this, give them. I'm telling you, it amazes me sometimes how God does that. We have to be careful what we say. If our words are to be the voice of God to someone, we don't want that voice to be garbled with a bunch of junk. God speaks to us through the circumstances of life, a failure, a success, a tragedy, a disappointment, a sickness. The circumstances of life are not nearly as important as what God is trying to say to us through the circumstances. In 1 Samuel 3, Samuel heard God's voice several times before he said, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Why do you need to learn to hear what God says? Because God's concerned about it. Because you never know when you're going to hear the most important message of your life. Because, thirdly, you never know what the Spirit of God might say to you just because you're listening. Fella comes to church, goes away saying, I didn't get anything. My question is, were you listening? Did you walk in and sit down and say, God, give me something today? Give me something. Give my wife something. Give my children something. Oh, God, my children, if they're going to walk with you and serve you and live for you, they got to get something. God, give them something. You don't have to get a lot out of a message for it to have been worth your while. Did you know that? I'm serious. I often sit and listen to a preacher and will say, God, give me something. And if I get one sentence, and God says, that was for you. Man, I have gotten something for my life. I remember traveling to Texas back in 1978 after our church had made a big decision. And there was a turmoil in my soul. And I knew I had done the will of God. I knew I had done what God wanted me to do. But there was still a restlessness in my soul. And it was like I needed God to confirm to my heart that what we'd done was right. And I went all the way to Texas and went to a seminar there, and I was literally sitting there saying, praying, God, give me something, give me something. And I remember in the middle of 35 hours of teaching, I believe it was the first or the second night that I was there, this man paused. And he said, I think I need to share this with someone that's here today. And there's like 5,000 people there. And I knew the next three sentences were worth the trip to Texas. Then, in fact, I was able to speak to that man a few years ago and say to him, I need to share with you what happened. I drove all the way to Texas and I was hungry for something and you said this and it was exactly what I needed. God used you. You were the voice of God to me. Dr. Jack Howell said, in his book, Meet the Holy Spirit, he said, when I was a young college student, I received a call to pastor a church that had given me a unanimous call. Within a few days, I received a call from another church asking me to be their pastor, but this was a call I received by only one vote. The logical thing was to accept the church that wanted me and extended to me a unanimous vote. For some reason, however, I felt led to wait a few days before I made the decision. I was sitting in college chapel. As I sat down, I asked the Holy Spirit to give me ears to hear. While I was listening, the preacher made this statement, sometimes God wants us to do those things which are not logical. And immediately I knew that was the Holy Spirit's message for me in that sermon. And immediately told me this was His way of letting me know I was to go to the church where I was called by a margin of only one vote. Though the battles were many at that church, we had a wonderful ministry. And though it was a small country church, there are now 40 pastors and missionaries serving God across America and around the world who were called to preach while I was pastoring that country church. It's possible I would not have accepted that pastorate had I not asked the Holy Spirit to help me to listen.
He goes on, he said, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if God's people would plead for God's power to listen as much as the preacher pleads for God's power to preach as he preaches? It'd be a wonderful thing if God's people would plead for the Holy Spirit to empower their listening during the singing and the special music. If God's people would pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon them as they hear the message, think of it. A Spirit-filled preacher preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit to a Spirit-filled congregation listening in the power of the Holy Spirit. What a combination. Amen. Revelation said, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Do you know God has things to say to us that are higher than the spoken word? He has truths for us that cannot be comprehended by the natural ear. There is a whole new life waiting for the believer who will start pleading with the Holy Spirit to give him something. Listen yourself. Teach your children to listen to God. If you will listen, God will speak to your heart about virtually every area of your life. God will speak to your heart about your job. God will speak to your heart about your relationships. God will speak to your heart about your education. God will speak to your heart about your children's education. We're getting that time when the fall of the year is getting awfully close here. And I've been praying and begging God, God help our people to realize that a Christian education is essential for a Christian. That we need, our children need to be taught not of the world, but of the Lord. And we need to pay any price to do that. Pray for your children that God will speak to their hearts. You need to learn to listen. Fourthly, because when you listen, you demonstrate character. You ever just think about different character qualities that relate to different things? Think about the different character qualities that relate to your hearing. Attentiveness. You cannot hear without being attentive. Attentiveness is letting others know I'm interested in what they're saying by my eyes, my expression, and my posture. What other character qualities are necessary to hear? Humility. Did you know if Lot had been humble, he would have heard God's voice and could have saved his whole family in the destruction of Sodom? If Peter had been humble, he could have heard Jesus' voice and would not have had to deny Jesus. How about respectfulness, the character quality of respectfulness? The person who listens shows respect to the person they're listening to. If Rebekah in Genesis had not been respectful to the servant Eliezer, she would have never heard the message that she was to be the bride of Isaac. How about alertness? Alertness is understanding that God at any moment may want to speak to me. Without the character quality of forgiveness, you see, sometimes God speaks to you through the person you forgave. But you cannot listen to someone who's done you wrong without forgiving them. Saul could not forgive David. David hadn't really done him wrong, but Saul couldn't forgive him anyway. And later he needed David. God could have spoken to him, perhaps through David, but Saul winds up needing a voice from God so bad he goes to a witch, the wrong place to try to hear from heaven. Loyalty is needed to listen. Responding to the spoken and the unspoken wishes of the one in authority. And there is the picture of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha's following Elijah just hours before his death. And Elijah says, stay back here. And Elisha says, I'm going with you. He heard the unspoken wishes of the one. You know, children, sometimes you can irritate your parents to the point that they say, just go ahead and do what you want to do. That doesn't mean that's what they want you to do. You can distress them to the point that say, look, you just go ahead. And at that point, you better learn loyalty is listening to the unspoken wishes of the one in authority. Without deference, you won't be able to hear. That is putting the goals and wishes of others ahead of my own goals and wishes. What if Joseph had not shown deference toward Mary? He could have never married her. Sometimes listening requires endurance.
Sometimes the preacher is dull, like I am a lot. Sometimes he's long, like I never am. Sometimes he's long, and sometimes listening requires endurance. Fifth, you need to learn to listen. You need to hear. You need the skill of listening. You need to be swift to hear, because God speaking is based on your listening. Matthew 13, I won't take time to read it, but there's the parable of the sower. You remember it? Sower is sowing seed. And some falls on the wayside, the birds devour it. Some falls on stony places, it sprung up, the sun scorched it. Some fell among thorns and it was choked. And some fell on good ground and produced fruit. And what's the next thing Jesus says in verse 9? Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And did you know that's what the whole parable was all about? Is who is going to listen to the seed of the Word of God. It wasn't, the parable is not about the sower. The parable is not about the seed. The parable is about the soil, the ears, the responsiveness to the Word of God. God speaking is based on your hearing. And if you don't hear God, it's because you're not listening. In the next verse, Matthew 13:10, the disciples asked, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And Jesus said in verse 15, "Because their heart is hard, their ears are dull, their eyes are closed." By telling a parable, Jesus was giving them the truth, but it was in a form they had to want it badly enough to think about it in order to get it. There's a couple of reasons I tell stories. I tell stories because people relate to stories and it holds attention and stories are interesting. But the second reason is so that hopefully you will be searching as I'm telling the story to find out what is the key truth. Why did I begin this message? I'm not to the end now, but why did I begin this message telling that story about that guy poking out behind his head behind that stove? Can you see that? Do you picture that in your mind? Why did I do that? There was a reason. Mark 4:33, "And with many such parables spake Jesus the word unto them as they were able to hear it." It was according to their ability to hear. I learned a long time ago how to listen. Now, when I was a rebellious teenager, I'd sit in church and sit. My parents wouldn't let me sit in the back. But I could get by with sitting halfway in the back, and I'd sort of slump down, you know, and just look up every once in a while. And, you know, I didn't really bring my Bible. I got right with God, and I learned something. I learned that your posture has to do with how you listen. You know? That if you sit straight, you look somebody in the eyes, you ask God, "Give me something." You concentrate on what is being said. Taking notes helps some people. It does me. I almost always take notes when I'm listening to a preacher. You smile. You respond by saying amen. Or if it's even a little bit funny. I mean, about the only hope you got with me as your pastor is it's going to be a little bit funny. And that means you laugh if it's even a little bit funny. Because not very often you're going to get much more than that. You respond. You hear a truth and you glance at your wife or you glance at the kids. You reach over and you say, "Hey, did you get that?" You respond by coming to the altar. I mean, I believe about once a week somebody needs to come to the altar. Maybe for yourself, maybe to pray for somebody else. You need to learn to listen. You need to skill of listening. You need to be swift to hear. Because, sixth, it's possible to hear without hearing. It's possible to listen to a teacher or a preacher give the Word of God and just go in what I call holy neutral. It's possible to read your Bible and just move the bookmark forward. In Matthew 11, Jesus was talking to the multitude about John the Baptist. He said he was a prophet. He was more than a prophet. No greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. This is Elias. This is Elijah. This is the man that was prophesied. And then in verse 15, he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know what he was saying? You better pay attention. He said, something great is going on here. God is trying to tell you something. And if you miss the forerunner, John the Baptist, you'll miss the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you need to learn to listen? Why do you need this skill? Why should you be swift to hear? Because God is concerned about it, because you never know when you're going to hear the most important message of your life. Because you never know what the Spirit of God might say. Just because you're listening, because you demonstrate all kinds of character qualities just by listening, because God's speaking is based on your hearing, because it's possible to hear and not hear. Could I tell you something last, number seven? God has some way of getting your attention. God is God. God can indeed get your attention. You say, I'm not going to listen. Guess again. What does it take? Does it take waking up in the middle of the night with feeling like a tractor trailer rig's laying on your chest for you to look up toward heaven and say, oh God. And suddenly God says, you hadn't been listening to me. Are you wanting to talk to me? Are you wanting to listen now? Is there something here that has gotten your attention? Does it take a fevered brow of one of God has some way of getting your attention. Isaiah 66:4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, ye did not hear. People have died and gone to hell because God tried to speak to them and they wouldn't listen. Listen, every person in hell, God tried to speak to them in some way or other, they wouldn't listen. People have ruined their lives, and God, all the time, graciously, lovingly trying to speak to them, they wouldn't listen. Evangelist Ed Carter, article here. It says, he was reared in a religious home, attended church faithfully, left home to go to college on a football scholarship. Never seen himself as a hellbound sinner in need of a Savior. In 1970, while he was in college at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia, his entire football team was killed in an airplane crash. He was miraculously spared from death because he was attending his dad's funeral in Texas. Everybody else on the football team was killed. He got saved right after that. God got his attention. God has a way of getting your attention. Listen to this. 3 months ago, I sat in a courtroom and heard a judge say 20 years. He was pronouncing sentence on my 21-year-old son, a punishment for drinking, gambling, and robbery, which ended in the shooting and near death of a man. The sentence might have been less, but my son took a sneering, defiant attitude through the court proceedings, ridiculing the law officers who spoke to him. The shocking climax came when the judge sternly asked, "Young man, don't you believe in God?" He laughed long and loud as he said, "God, who is that?" And every eye in the courtroom turned to look at me, his mother. When I was small, I attended Sunday school and learned about God. After I was married, I decided to continue and take my children. Although I could not persuade my husband to accompany us, the children I attended regularly for a year. Then I skipped a Sunday. Soon I skipped two or three. Then we attended only on special days, Easter, Christmas. For long, I joined a bowling team that competed on Sunday afternoons. I couldn't do both, attend church and bowl, so I decided in favor of bowling. It was so much fun. If only I had those years to live over. Night after night, I've paced the floor with my son's words echoing my ears. God, who is that? My son was 13. The Sunday the police came just as I was leaving with my bowling bag. I waited impatiently while he told my son he had been caught breaking a window the night before. I practically forgot about it and went on my way. By now, church was a thing of the past. The years went by to end up in a courtroom. So many say they don't believe in making a child go to church if he doesn't want to go. How many would go to school if they were not made to go? Ask any child that question. God has a way of getting our attention. I began with that young man who was poking his head out behind that stove, listening to Dr. Walter Wilson, the great preacher, preaching. And he heard that message. And man, he was hiding in the back of the church. And the next service, he was there on Sunday. And he's sitting right on the front with a huge, huge, not just a family Bible, a pulpit Bible. One of these massive Bibles. I got one or two I should have brought up here to show you. And Dr. Wilson said, "Would you tell me how this happened?" And his face glowed with joy, and Everett said, "As you described the symptoms of a dead sinner, I saw right away you were talking about me. You said the dead sinner didn't care for God, and I never have. You said he didn't understand the Bible, and I knew I never did. You said he didn't care whether it went to heaven or hell, and I've never cared a bit about where anybody went. You said anyone dead in his sins didn't care very much whether he sinned or didn't, and I never have cared, really. I like to commit sin." You hit me square on the head when you told that. When you closed the service, I beat it for home. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I wanted to fight that thing out and see if I could understand it and get it straightened out. When I arrived at my little house, I lit my lantern, got out a little testament I had trying to find the place you preached and couldn't find the verse. I knew it was somewhere in John, so I started reading from the first verse till I found it. I couldn't read very good. It was 2:30 in the morning before I got to John 5:24, and I found the verse. I read it over and over again. I didn't want to stay dead in my sin and be lost. I wanted Jesus to save me. After reading it several times, I got on my knees and said, Jesus, God sent you to save me, and I'm going to let you do it. You said if I believed on you, I'd have everlasting life, and I'm believing on you, and I'm taking you for my Savior right now. I'm going to be your man and live for you because you died for me. After praying, I got wonderful peace, and I said to myself, if reading one verse will give me that much peace, reading more verses might give me more peace. I sat down beside the lantern and read till it came to the verse that said, John 7:4, if he wants people to know him, that says no man does anything in secret. If he wants people to know him openly, I thought, well, that's right. So I took my lantern and started out in the middle of the night to tell folks I've been saved. I knocked at my neighbor's house. He called out the window, wanted to know who was there. I told him it was I, that Jesus just saved me, and I wanted him to know it. I went on to the next house and knocked. Soon Jim stuck his head out upstairs and said, who's down there? I said, it's Everett. Jesus saved me a little while ago. I want you to know about it. Goodbye. I went all around the village. Dr. Wilson told everybody in town because I didn't want Jesus to say that he saved me in secret, and I didn't tell it openly. Dr. Wilson looked at him and said, well, why the big Bible? He said, Monday morning, I went over to the bookstore in the next town and said to the book manager, Mr. Mack, I want to buy a big Bible. He brought me out a Bible like one you preach out of. But I said, no, I don't want a little Bible like that. I don't want a big Bible. He brought me out a Bible, had maps in it, a lot of writings about the Bible, and a thumb index for blind people to find the books. I didn't want that either and told him so. I told him I wanted the biggest Bible had in the store. So he brought out this one. I said, that's just what I want. Wrap it up for me. He said, Mac, it's going to cost you a lot of money. I said, that's all right. I never bought a Bible, so I never spent any money on one. I might as well spend a whole lot now. He wrapped it up, and I paid him for it and started out the door. And then he called me and said, Everett, I can't understand what you want with a Bible. Everybody around here knows you hadn't been a church member. You've always run with a tough bunch. You've had a kind of bad reputation. How's it come you want a Bible and such a big one? I was glad to tell Mr. Mac how Jesus saved me. And now as a Christian, I knew Christians ought to read their Bible and not be ashamed of it. And I said, Mr. Mac, you're right. Everybody knows I've been a tough fellow who sinned, never cared for the Bible. Now I belong to Jesus. I want to carry a Bible everywhere I go. Now, if I had my little Bible, that little New Testament I have at home, I might be walking along the street with it. I'd see some of the old gang coming up the street, and the devil would say, Everett, here comes the gang. Better put that Bible in your pocket. Mr. Mack, I want a Bible I can't get in my pocket. That's the reason I got this great big one. The devil is not going to get me to hide a Bible in my pocket after Jesus died for me and saved me. And Dr. Wilson, I got this big Bible because I want everybody to know that I've been converted and I love the Bible, and I want everybody to know I love the Bible and I love Jesus. He was sitting behind a stove, but the Spirit of God reached out there and he started listening. And God changed it. And you could be hiding in a corner here today. You could be behind the boxes up there. I've had people hide underneath the pews so as not to listen. But if you listen, God could change your life. Are you listening?